Fellas, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Best news of the weekend, Guy, was what?
Nature Strip winning the Everest in Sydney. Richest turf horse race in the world. Trained by Chris Waller, ridden by James McDonald, and co-owned in a group of 17 owners by Steve Hansen. So Kiwi trio and some others leading the way there in a phenomenal race for New Zealand. So yeah, for me that was huge.
No, I didn't ask whether it was for you. I said what was the best story, and you are in fact incorrect. The answer is the WRC coming back to New Zealand.
Yeah, that's true as well. That's huge news. Of course, it was supposed to come back last year. It didn't because of COVID. And I'm told that they still had to do quite a lot of work. They didn't just, they pitched a fairly similar thing, but it had to be a little bit different to cater for various aspects of safety that we are now all well aware of in this day and age. But yeah, significant news. And I was actually, while I was putting my story together, watching some of the old vision from 10 years ago when they were last here, and the crowds were enormous.
Yep.
For the inner city one that was kind of through the Domain. I understand the inner city one this time will be around the port, or near the port anyway, which is a great place to showcase a bit of Auckland and to have some cars revving. So, yeah, fantastic.
And what I loved about your story, and I assume it was your story, is that all those people saying, the drivers, best. If it's not in Finland, it's New Zealand, we love it.
Well,
will the borders be open?
Yardvala.
Well, they have to be,
no,
wouldn't they?
That's the question, yeah.
They have to be. I mean, when are we talking? When is it? It's the latter part of next year, isn't it?
Late September, early October.
Yeah, we'll be back. Don't worry, Sav. Billie Eilish will be here.
What about you, Guns N' Roses, and you at Eden Park?
Exactly. I'm going to Guns N' Roses. You're going to Billie Eilish. We'll all congregate at the WRC, and life will be the way it once was. It'll be fantastic.
The rally has always attracted huge crowds. I think the WRC has sort of plateaued a little bit in recent years when it has been run, Mike. But the rally here has always been hugely popular. I went and covered, I think it was a special sort of post-first lockdown rally in the Woodhill Forest just outside of Auckland, northwest of Auckland last year. And Hayden Paddon was driving in it. Mm-hmm. And I'd forgotten, standing that close to someone like Hayden Paddon, who has raced in the WRC, how fast these men and women go, and the cornering speeds, the 100%. Noise of the car. You can understand why it attracts so many people.
Couldn't agree more. I've been in cars, I like cars, and I've been in cars with the best, and I literally crap myself.
Yeah,
in a rally car.
You are expecting, you drive with those drivers, and You put your foot on an imaginary brake about 100 metres from the corner. They brake with about 3 metres ahead before the corner.
Yet another reason why I admire Shane Van Gisbergen, because that's a guy who can be on a track or in any sort of car and then jump in a rally car and do that, because the skills required are just completely different things.
Mm-hmm. So anyway. People wouldn't realise, I don't think, how much the feet dance for those drivers, rally drivers in particular. I jumped in a car with Emmett Gilmore last year, which was just fantastic. And that was one thing that I wanted to look at, was just their feet are just moving constantly. Yeah. It's just endless.
It's an incredible skill. Back to your horses, though, Guy. How many people, 18 owners, that's a lot of owners. It's not sort of, you're not in it for the payday. I'm assuming you're in it because you love horses, you love racing, and you want your costs covered. But if you're splitting a prize money 18 ways, it's not making you rich, is it?
Well, it was a $15 million race, so you're probably making a little bit. And the horse has now won 6 Group 1s, 18 of its 33 starts. They're onto a pretty good one, so I suspect they may have made a little bit out of it.
But how many horses do you have to own before you get a horse like that?
Oh, a lot. That's very much luck of the draw. I think, and I might be wrong here, but I think they paid $100,000 for him at the sales. And he's now made, as I say, upwards of $14, $15 million. So that's been well worth it.
That's not bad. Yeah. Sav, the Commonwealth Games, it strikes me, it's sort of a semi-innovative idea where you can have athletics and swimming, but then you pick your own sports.
Yeah.
But it also reeks to me of desperation.
Yeah, it does. I think it's gone too far. I think they're desperate to have cities actually bid for the Games, because apart from Birmingham next year, 2022, I don't think they have a city yet for 26.
No, they don't.
And I don't think there's a lot of cities clambering over each other to have the Comm Games. So, it is quite a desperate bit. It's a tad weird, I think. Odd.
Once it's, see, what do you do about it? Because I was talking to the rowing people about it the other day, and they said, to be honest, it's a training venue. You know, it's like the Worlds are where it's at, the Olympics are next, and as for the Commonwealth Games, if we send some young up-and-comers there, terrific. If we don't, c'est la vie.
I mean, there are a few Commonwealth sports, maybe lawn bowls and squash to a degree, which probably belongs in the Olympics anyway.
Yep.
But there are some Commonwealth sports where that is up near the pinnacle, but there's not many.
No, that's the truth. Guy, the... I should mention the hybrids for the WRC, shouldn't we? That they're going to be some sort of hybrid car.
Yeah, I don't. I was looking at videos of them in the week, and they still got pretty much exactly the same noise, and they still absolutely fly. I don't know the full ins and outs of them, but speaking of that sort of thing, I think Hayden Patton might be competing in his in his version of it this weekend for the first time competing in it. So,
well, he's full electric.
Hasn't he been running a full electric
one? He's got
as
a BEV.
Developing.
He's got a BEV.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah. But I think he's actually competing in something in it for the first time this weekend. Well, so right. I think that's a significant step.
That'll be super exciting. Do you remember I told you about Alison Williams a couple of weeks ago, who was the ESPN reporter? And it was about the vaccine, and she didn't want to
get vaccinated. Yeah.
And she was doing IVF and stuff. Anyway, she's left the company. So Disney, who own ESPN, have said mandate for everybody, take it or leave it. She's gone. So she's lost her job. Which is the irony of this, Sav, is that so she's gone because she doesn't have any power. Kyrie Irving, who you could argue should be gone as well, because, you know, he's not going to get the jab, but isn't, because they don't want to let him go, because, of course, he'd get picked up by somebody else and that'd be the end of it.
Yeah, but he's been stood down by the team, hasn't he? I mean, he's not playing.
No, right? I know, but they're still paying him.
Well, no, they're not, are they?
No, they're paying half. I thought that. I thought they were paying half.
Okay.
They were paid because he's eligible. He said, I'm eligible to play for the game. So the mandate's in New York and LA or California. In between, I'm playing. And they went, well, no, you're not. We've made a decision on that. But they're still paying him half his salary.
Right. Well, I suppose, you know, the lawyers have been brought in, you could imagine. I think it's quite a stand made by Shaw Marks and the Nets because he is one of these superstars, Mike. I mean, it's going to hurt the team, you'd imagine.
Of course.
In the end,
of course.
Results.
Yeah, I would have thought so. But would you want to play with a guy? I mean, this is what Marx's argument is, and I think I agree with it, is that does the guy pop in periodically when it suits the, you know, mandate agenda, depending on where in America you are, and do you adjust your team dynamic around
can't.
It, or do you go, mate, don't worry
can't.
About it?
No, he needs to be off the team until he gets vaccinated, purely simply.
Which I think is what's happening. I suspect those teammates, a lot of them in America, I don't think it'll bug them too much, will it? I mean, he's such a superstar that they'll probably just welcome him with open arms whenever he wants to return.
Bosses. You guys watching the snooker, the Irish Open?
No, I'm not, Mike. No.
How can you call yourself a sports reporter when you're not covering sport?
There'd be a handful of people in this country watching the Irish snooker open. You'd be one of them.
There's hours of it.
You've got too much time on your hands. Up half the night.
What I do, no. I record it and I whiz it through. And the one I watch is Ronnie O'Sullivan, who was, he got knocked out the other day because he turned up in a bad mood. So the day before, when he was in a good mood, he just absolutely destroyed this guy. It was like watching a genius at work. Literally no preparation, rocks up, whacks the balls, they all go in, he goes home. Next day, turns up, he's in a foul mood. Argues with the crowd, loses, doesn't make the final 16, so that's the end.
I didn't realise he was still competing because he's a bit wild, isn't he? He's always been wild.
He settled a little bit, but when you say not competing, he's still the best in the game. He's right up there. He's certainly in the top two or three in the world. And
you, what do you take out of watching snooker? Do you have your favourite?
What I do is I look, and it was really, it's funny you should ask.
Got your protractor?
No, what you do is once you go below O'Sullivan and those guys, there's about two or three of them that are brilliant. Once you go below those guys, they make the same mistakes that the regular player makes, and that's the difference. So what you're finding out is that at the elite level, there's actually only a handful of people who are truly brilliant, and the ones below them are very, very good, but they still make the fundamental errors that you and I might make.
So what you're saying is that below the top two or three in the world, you could beat the rest.
On a good day with a tailwind, I'd certainly give them a rattle up.
Sorry, Guy.
You go, Andrew.
I remember you saying this over the years about golf. You could beat the best in the world in tennis, and it never eventuated.
Okay.
So where's this heading?
Ask Michael Hill. Next time you run into Michael Hill,
yeah,
ask him who won the Michael Hill Invitational.
Is this golf?
Beating
this
golf? Sean Fitzpatrick, Andrew Mertens, the guy O'Malley from Australia, and
Peter
a guy
O'Malley?
Called G. Turner from New Zealand.
And what handicaps and restrictions
Scratch.
Were in place for them?
Scratch.
Oh, yeah, right.
Scratch. You ask, Mike out. I rest my case. In fact, if you go into the archives,
weekend.
Are you going into work, Sam? I didn't see you on the television last night. Do you
no,
only work
I'm
a two
working,
or 3 day
yeah,
week
I'm
these days?
Today. Thanks for your concern. I'm working today. Yep,
okay.
Yep.
When you go in today, go into the TVNZ archives.
Yes.
Go back a few years to the Michael Hill Invitational. It'll be in there for sports highlights.
Yeah.
And you pull that tape out.
Should I search Hosking Moustache, Hosking Loud Tie, Hosking Golf?
You go search anything you want, but it'll be there. It was a highlight of my sporting career. Anyway, enough about me. The segment's now over. Nice to see you guys. We'll catch up next week. Guy Havelt, Andrew Savile.